Daniel chapter 2, and if I'm not mistaken, we left off in verse 33, talking about this image here. It says, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And then it says, thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. Now, you'll notice in the Bible that types of Christ were made without hands. The ark, you'll notice in Genesis 6, verse 14, it was made without hands. And another thing, too, look at 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. I like reading over there, and they're building the tabernacle there. And it says, no sound, not even a sound. You ever read that part where it says, not even the sound of the hammer was in there and stuff? No hands, no works there. All right. And man, why? Because without hand, that's picturing Christ. And why? He did all the work. When he gets there, he does all the work. Why? He said on the cross, it is finished on the cross. And it's amazing how that thing is put together. Now, First Kings chapter number 6, look at verse 7. It says, then he made a porch for the throne where he might judge. Let's see here. I knew that didn't sound right. That's 1 Kings 7. All right, here it is. It says in verse 7, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. Stone, see, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard. Look at this, in the house while it was in building. That's amazing. All right, that thing was it was assembled. I mean, it was built, and then it was able to be assembled without any noise and any hammers or anything else. Why? Because Christ does it all. And man, that stone is cut out without hands, and that stone is Christ. Notice, look in your Bible at 1 Peter chapter 2 about this stone here. I like this stone spoken of in the Bible. And you know, what's amazing is we're going to look at this thing here in 1 Peter chapter 2. I don't want to ruin it. I get ahead of myself because I get excited just thinking about this thing here. I hear. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 4. Speaking of the Lord, you know, it says, you had tasted that the Lord is gracious. Some people need the taste in the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Talking about that taste in there, y'all may have heard this story, but it just came to mind. There was an older man. He was in college and going to college to be, and I forgot exactly what it was. I think it had something to do with farming. But anyway, he's in this college classroom. He's got his overalls on, you know, and this guy's an atheist, and he's talking about, you know, there's no God, and we all the same old line you've heard. We all came from monkeys and all this stuff. And the guy had an orange, and he comes down in front of that guy, and he's staring at the guy. You know, he's peeling this orange like this right here, and he peels that orange, and he puts a piece of that orange in his mouth and chews on it, you know, juice going all over the place. And that guy's looking at him like, what's this crazy guy? But he's kind of intimidated, you know, the guy's just staring at him. And he said, sir, what's going on? He said, that orange sure was good. And he said, yes, sir. He said, did you taste that orange? He said, no. He said, so you don't know what it tastes like? And he said, no. He said, that's what's wrong with you. And the guy said, what? He said, you don't know the Lord. You've never tasted and seen that he's good. And he just old country sense. You know what I mean? That's what's wrong with a lot. Just that. I know that's a country analogy, but y'all, that's what's wrong with a lot of folks. Look, they say all the things about God they say about God, and they say that, you know, nobody can know and all this. Well, they just don't know him. Well, see, once you know God, then you've tasted and you see that he's good. Well, he gives you I want to study that. It's not natural. But y'all, this is not natural. To want to, oh, wow, it's a book. Well, it's just these pages here. You know, a lot of people, they read a book, they throw it on the shelf, and we're sitting here going, right there. You know, these people, you know, you think about how crazy we look to other people, and they're like, a stone. You know what I'm saying? It was like the stone was covenant, and a man gets up here and beats on the pulpit, and the stone is Jesus Christ. Well, y'all, to us, that's a hallelujah, glory to God. That makes you just, you know, you're connected. But y'all, with people who, the people who aren't connected there, what do they care? Flip pages. What did y'all do last night? Well, we went and flipped pages in the book here, and we learned about the Lord Jesus Christ and looked this word and followed that word through the Bible. Well, I watched 4 hours of television last night, you know. And the thing is, y'all, that's why you're interested, is because you're connected. Now, look at this. This is another reason. Look at this thing. You're in Christ. He's the stone. But the Bible says, tomb coming, in 1 Peter 2, verse 4, tomb coming, speaking of the Lord, as unto a living stone. He's a living stone. Now watch this. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So who's the chosen of God? Jesus Christ is. Now you know how I get chosen? You're talking about being chosen? I'm in Christ. You're in Christ. The chosen ones are in Christ. Now watch this. Ye also, this is what I love about this, as lively stone. They're living stone. We're the living stone. Built up, see, or built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone. A cornerstone, you got to remember that. Elect. Now you know what? I'm elect. Ain't this something? This one lady, she used to say, I'm the frozen chosen. Yeah, you're so frozen, you never told nobody about Christ. The thing is, y'all, you're in Christ. Christ is the elect, so guess what? That makes me elect. All right, and it says precious. I underline that, and I can't preach the sermon on it, but you go through verse 4, precious. Verse 5, precious. And you believe he is precious, number 7, and go through there and see all that precious there. And I like this, there's this one church I went to one time, and this guy prayed, and he said, precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Precious. He's praying, and that's biblical. All right, and see, you know, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be hasted. Why? Well, it's the stone, but guess what? There's a thing about that stone there that'll trip you up. Look at verse 8. It says, I might as well read verse 7 just because I like, unto you, therefore, which believe is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. Now, you want to know how come people don't think he's precious? Why? Disobedience. Mm-hmm. Disobedience, just simple and plain. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. We're going to read about that head of the corner here in a little while. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Look at that thing. He's the rock. Simon Peter didn't say, I'm the rock. Simon Peter said, he's the rock. Peter's writing this thing and he's saying Christ is the rock. And they say, well, Peter's the rock on which our church is built. No, Simon Peter himself says the rock is Jesus. Of offense even to them which stumble at the word. First, they stumble at the rock, which is Christ. But you know, guess what? This word is a rock too. It's a hammer. It's a fire. It's a double-edged sword. It's a lot of things. You know what? You can stumble all over it. But the trouble is, a lot of people stumble over the word and they pick themselves up and never look around and see what they stumble over. They just keep going. And it says, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And it goes on to talk about that. Why? Because we came to that word there. And the thing is, if you stumble at the word, it's because you're disobedient. And that's even for people who say, but guess what? People who aren't saved, you know what they're doing? They're stumbling at the word. That's how come they don't trust Christ. It's because they're not, you know, here's the word preached, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Well, I just, you know, and here comes the excuses. And y'all, why? It's because you trust the word. Y'all, more and more, as I get older, I'm realizing more and more there's a whole lot of lies that goes on in this world. If I can't trust this book right here, I can't trust nothing, man, because everything's so unstable. The economy's unstable. The whole world itself is unstable. And one of these things, this thing's going to reel to and fro like a drunkard, the Bible says. It's going to be real unstable then. But I tell you this, this word right here is not unstable. It's sure and steadfast, and it's a stone. Now, that stone there. Now, let me tell you something else about that stone. A stone was cut without hands. Look over in your Bible here at Genesis 49. Genesis chapter number 49. Look at this stone. Now, something about this thing is mentioned here that we need to get down, and it'll help you. As far as, it's all the way through your Bible, this thing right here. Watch this. Genesis 49, verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now, watch this. You know, even the parentheses right here is important. Everything. From thence is the shepherd. There's the first coming. The shepherd. See, he came as the first. He came as a shepherd the first time. Guess what? The stone of Israel, comma, separated by a comma. Guess what? That comma is your parentheses, the church age right there. See, the parentheses is not the replacement. It's not. It's a parenthesis. You know what you're in right now? You're in a, what is known, or it could be called a parenthesis, or the church age dispensation. Because he came the first time, and see, he came and those legs were ruling there. Rome was in power when he came the first time. And you know what? He came as that shepherd, and they rejected him. All right. Now, also, when he comes back here, guess what? He's going to come back that stone. See, he came the first time a lamb. See, the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. Guess what? The second time he comes, it's not going to be any nice, you know, no more playing nice, no more Mr. Nice Guy kind of thing. He's coming, and he's going to come and do what Daniel is going to talk about he's going to do. Look at another thing where a comma can separate over 2,000, you know, around 2,000 years just in a comma. Now look at this thing. Look in your Bible at Isaiah chapter number 28. You got a 2,000 year church age right there in a comma, and it's over and over in your Bible. But we're not. This is not just the study. I'm just kind of showing you this thing about this stone. And but he didn't do the smiting the first time like he's going to do the first time he come. And in Isaiah 53 verse 4 said he was smitten the first time. So Isaiah 28. And look at verse number 16. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, see, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You see that thing? A foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Now that's very, very interesting. And I tell you why. Because it's not just any stone, it's a cornerstone. Now watch this. Turn in your Bible to Matthew 21. Look at this stone here. This thing is going to do some damage. Now you know what amazes me? All right. That stone is all throughout that Bible. And you got David being a type of Jesus Christ. And you know what David does? All right, Goliath is a type of the Antichrist. David takes a stone and hits Goliath right in the skull, right in his head. See? And guess what? The seed of the serpent's going to get wounded in his head one of these days. And man, it's going to, why? That stone is going to come back. And the Lord Jesus will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. It's not. Look, the devil is far, far superior to anything you know of beside the Lord. Look, he's no match for God. No match. The Lord can't even. I mean, the devil can't even stand in the Lord's presence. He's going to come up through here in the brightness of his coming, and he'll just come up here and stomp all the rest of it. We'll see this. He's no match for our Lord. Now, watch this in Matthew chapter 21. Look at verse 44. And we're going to come back here. You want to hold your place in Matthew 21, verse 44. Go first, though. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind into powder. Look here, if you trip over that stone and you fall on that stone because of disobedience, you'll be broken. But you know what? If it's going to fall on you, if you wait, you know, these people, I just wait to the tribulation. Let me tell you something, it's going to grind you to powder. It'll grind them to to powder. Those ones he come, I'm telling you, he's coming back in wrath. He came the first time, and he came, and he says, you can be saved here. But buddy, when he comes back and he comes as that smiting stone, it's too late. All right, now hold your place there, and let me show you this thing. Why it's going to grind into powder? When is this? Remember, it said that the stone was cut without hands, which smote the image. All right, now watch this. Look at Revelation 19. Hold your place in Matthew 21, and look at Revelation 19. And just remember, keep in your mind, as you're turning to Revelation 19, that it said that stone smote the image. Smote the image. That's amazing right there. Because you follow your cross references in your Bible, and you cross reference some of the same things it's talking about, and watch what it says. You know that one day he's coming. He's faithful and true. His eyes are going to be as a flame of fire. He's going to have that vesture clothed or dipped in blood. He's called the Word of God, and the armies are going to follow him. Verse 15 says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Right there in the text, it says he's going to tread over them. And the Bible says that with that sword, he's going to smite the nations. You know what? It says that sword is going to come, or that stone will come, and it says without hands, which smote the image. Well, you know what? That he can do it, but you know how he's going to do it? With his, it said he'll smite the nation with his mouth. His mouth is so powerful, he's able to say, let there be light, and there's light. And you know what all he's got to do is say, down. And they'll go. If he wanted to, he could say, turn into powder, and they'll do it. What he says goes. That's amazing. That's why, because you see that thing connected, he's going to do it. But then it tells you over in Revelation 19, he's going to be speaking these things with his mouth. You know, these people, you know, like these dragons and stuff like that, and they got the fire coming out. Well, guess what? The Lord Jesus is able to make fire come out of his mouth. Isaiah talks about he'll come up through there, and fire is going to maybe come out of his mouth, and he'll set that you'll have a lake of fire in the millennium. He'll set that thing on fire up through there with his mouth, man. I mean, that's power. That's power right there. Now, you think with us, you know, I think, you know, in your mind, maybe it's the flesh. You think, how is a man going to come up here? Well, he's no ordinary man, for one thing. For another thing, if a regular man at Barnum Circus can put gasoline in his mouth and spurt fire out, that's just a little weak man. It's not hard for me to believe that the Lord wants to spit fire out of his mouth. He can do it, man. That don't faze me a bit. And it says that text told you that it'll do that. Now turn back to Matthew 21 and look at verse 42. It says, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read the script in the scriptures? Talking to the leaders, yeah, you hadn't been reading. You know what the problem is, folks? They're not reading. They're not reading. It says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Now, guess what? If you'll look there, talking about that stone there, the only structure that you'll find that you know, where one of its corners is also its head, is a pyramid. That's the only structure you'll find that's like that. And you know what? A pyramid looks just like a mountain. You know what? A pyramid has those three sides, right? If you draw that thing like this right here. Why, there's Father, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if you're looking at that text right there, the stone art is the head of the corner right there. You know what? It's amazing how, you know, all over the ancient world and these things like this, and you got Babel, you got men building different forms of pyramids all over the place. And isn't that amazing? You know what they're doing? The man is trying to bring the kingdom from the bottom up. That's the problem. But you know what? The Lord's going to come from the top down here like this. You don't get here by building it of your own self. That's why, you know, the old saying, kingdom builders are bloody killers. That saying's true, man. You get these people, well, we're bringing in the kingdom, you know. And we're further in the kingdom. You have to be real careful with that stuff. Why? Because you know what they're doing? They're focusing on the physical. And you get to focusing on the physical so much, and they get to where they're building. It's their doing. It's all about what they do, what they do, what they do. Look, if the Lord don't build, it's no good anyway. If the Lord's not a part of it, it's no good anyway. I don't care how big, how beautiful. I'll remind you there in the book of Mark, I believe it is, you'll read, and Judas was the one that was all impressed with all the buildings. That's dangerous. Why? Because today, your sin, we've seen it. It's been an element of it all through the beginning, ever since Babel or whatever. But you're seeing people are fascinated with how big they can get their church building. And y'all, that's a dangerous thing. People say, well, hey, isn't it wonderful? We got 500 people here. Well, if the Lord's not over this church, it's no good. And so that's what you have. And so you see these things too. The Lord comes, He does that. Why? Because the Bible said He smote that image and upon His feet. All right? So He knocks the foundation out from under that image there that was iron and clay and broke them in pieces. And that stone is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second coming. So what you have is, to reiterate things we've went over, when the Lord came that first time, everything was set up so that He could take over. All right, and that's why they want to make Him king and things like that. Why'd he go off? Because the Father's going to make Him king. He don't have to have a man make Him king. All right, well so what you have is you come through the scripture there and you read in Luke, guess what they were wanting to be delivered from? Not from themselves, it said from their enemies. In Luke chapter 1, they're wanting to be delivered from their enemies. So they're looking for the Lord to come and defeat Rome and everything else. So what you have, if they would have received Him, everything was set up to happen without a church age. Why? Because if God hadn't revealed it to Paul, you wouldn't have known about it anyway. It'd have been hidden right there in the scriptures. But praise the Lord. I mean, the thing is, we're grafting. That's why Romans 11 ought to convict us. Why? Because they rejected, we were grafted in. Boast not thyself against the branches. Why? You know what the Gentiles are doing? The same things, the same thing that the Jews did. Now the Gentiles are rejecting. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to put up with it a little while. And one of these days, the rapture of church is going to happen. And even though I got an email the other day, and this guy says, sure proof, Brother Chase, love you down here like this right here. Sure proof that the church is going through the tribulation. Same old junk. Same old junk that I've seen. Well, nobody's rightly dividing. They just take Matthew chapter 24 and they say, see right here, and I know, Zach, y'all know the verse as well as I do. They go through here and say, there's no refuting it. Well, that's not us. You know, I'm not enduring to the end. And what it is, y'all, it's so sad. Why? Because these are people who go to Baptist church and things like that. Why? Here they are. They've gotten this guy on the YouTube, and he's on there. Why? This is a video, and this guy right here is right about it. Well, he's not rightly dividing the word. And guess what he's doing? He's leading people astray, because you know what? They fail to see the difference in that comma right there. The difference between His first coming, there's a parenthesis part there, and then the second coming. If you fail to divide between that first and second coming there, it will mess up the whole interpretation, the way you see the scriptures in the Bible. The first and second comings were together. And so more on that as we go through. But now notice in your Bible too, in verse 35 it says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together. All of them get broken together. Why? Because they're all going by the same spirit. They're all part of the same. All of them, guess what? Basically, even though they can call themselves what they want to, but they're all culminating in a Babylon. They started off in Babel. And Babylon, you know where they're headed to? Mystery, Babylon the Great. And all that thing is part of the same thing. The Lord, they try to change. Why? Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them, Proverbs chapter number 5. Just because she moves around don't mean she's fooled God. She's still Babylon. And it's still the confusion, the author confusion, the head of it. All right, and so look at this. And became like the chaff. Why? Because it got smashed. Now look at this chaff. Psalms chapter 1. smush them just like chaff. I'm telling you, I heard one guy, I preached one sermon. He was real nice. You know, he come up to me at the end of the thing, and he said, yeah, everything was good on that, but that last part where the Lord comes back and smushes all those people. Now, you know, the Lord wouldn't just come in and smush people. Hmm. I said, yeah, well, the Bible said it. He said, but do you think the Lord would just come in and just kill people? Man, what does the Bible say? He says, I kill to make alive. He's able to come down and smush it. He's going to come down and stomp them, man. But you know what? People refuse to believe. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to see more and more this nice little sissy Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. Why? He's a man's man. He is the thing. He created man. A man's man. Man, he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. If he wants to come down and smush somebody, he can come down. And nobody's going to say, now what are you doing? No, they're not. It says chaff. Look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I just like reading this. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Look at that. I like that. One of these days, all those ungodly ways, all those people out in the street drinking, their way not going to last. You know what the way is going to last? The biblical way, the old paths of Jeremiah 6:16, that what's going to last. And all that other. Now, why does he say the chaff of the summer threshing floors? Look at Isaiah 28, verse number 27. All right, now while you're turning there, Isaiah 28:27. Well, I'll go ahead and read it, and then I'll tell you about this thing. More and more about this smashing and this stone coming. No, you think Hulk smash? He don't have nothing on the Lord. All of them try to copy the Lord. If you look at those superheroes, every one of them want to die to save the world. Every one of them want to be Jesus Christ. He's the real hero. Verse 27: For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel. There's your cartwheel right there. We used to turn cartwheels when we was kids. Turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Now you see that threshing instrument. Now what they would do? They would have these heels, and there would be a flat top on that heel there, and it would be hard ground. And they would take this. It was a wide thing, had all kind of like pieces, I guess, that glass and stuff like that that would take those seeds and stuff, and it would go over the top of them and smush them. But what it was, a guy would sit in the middle of that field, and an ox would pull that thing with all those threshing things under it, and that thing would go around and go around and go around and smush all that stuff off of the top of these seeds. And what would happen is, in the evening, the wind would blow. And they would take those winnowing forks and push that and throw that stuff up in there, and that wind would carry off that chaff and all that light bad stuff that had been broken up, and the good stuff would stay on the bottom right there. All right, and you know, you remember one time when the Lord says, "Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat." All right, well, you think about it, what it is. Is that sifting? Like I've seen some of them on TV. One time we looked at one of these. This one place. I forget exactly where it was. They had this big old hat thing, and they had broken that stuff up. And they would take that hat, and the wind was blowing, and they'd throw it like this, and the heavy stuff would come right back down, and the wind would carry the bad stuff off, and all the good would stay in the bottom. Well, you know what? The Lord does that in our life a lot of times too. But that's a spiritual application. One day, physically, he's going to come down, and he's likening that thing to a flat place. Why? The valley of Megiddo, the Armageddon, you know what? He's going to come down to a flat place, and he's going to come down there and stomp them. And that's what the Bible says. He's likening that thing to a threshing instrument. Now, you watch that threshing instrument go over those seeds. You know what? They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. You heard of those bad seeds? The Lord don't like bad seed. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come in and crush them. And these giants, you imagine these giants, the pride of those giants, they come down here and these little weaklings, you know, and people are getting weaker and weaker as time goes on, because you know what? People don't use their hands nowadays. I tell you what, the men back used to, when they get up in the morning and they was out hoeing in the garden, out working outside and stuff like that. Well, you think about this little generation now, this growing up, and all they do is play Nintendo. It's one old boy said, "Man, I sure am tired." And I said, "What's been going on, little buddy?" And this old boy, he had blisters on his thumbs. You know, he said, "I've been playing Nintendo all day." I thought you'd been working or something, man. The boy's been playing it tonight. That's sad, man. Well, what is it, man? You think, you know, when a race of giants comes in here with these little, they're going to be, whatever you want to do is fine with me. And then the Lord comes in there and smushes every one of them just like grapes, man. Not going to be one challenge for him. Goliath, he could take Goliath and take him like a dish rag, man. And he'll come in there in that threshing floor right there. And it says, and the wind carried them away back in Daniel. And it says that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, no place was found for them. Look at, y'all remember that saying in Revelation 20 verse 11, no place was found for those whenever heaven and earth fled away. Well, right here is going to be no place found for these. Look at Psalms 9. These are some familiar verses, but I want to tell you this just out of the Bible. He says no place were found for them. Right now, they got a good place in the world, but one of these days, they're not going to have a good place. Psalms 9, and if you'll look at Psalms 9, verse number 17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hail, and all the nations that forget God. Now, what's he coming to? He's coming to those nations. See, he's going to come in and smite, the Bible says he's going to smite the nations. Now, you know what's going to happen to them? There's going to be no place found for them. Why? They're going to be turned into hell. And they forgot God. Now, if they forgot God, if I learned something and I forgot it, you know what? It was there at one time. You know what a lot of people are doing? They're forgetting God. Well, because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. You know what they want to do? They want to take and they want to take the commandments out and things like that. Why? They want to forget about it. Why? They don't want no conviction. They don't want any kind of conviction whatsoever. And they forget God. And let me show you another one. Just to read it to you, Matthew 13 is a good one to go with that. Matthew chapter number 13. And this is a good one right here. One of these days, the Lord comes back. He's going to smite the nations. And I really like this right here. It says in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now, guess what? No place found for them. Why? And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that there's going to be no place found for one. The angels are going to come up. All the people that offend Jesus, the angels are going to get rid of them. Now you think about all these billboards and all these movies and all this stuff that the Lord don't like. People say, "Well, you're offending me," you know, and you're offending right now. Everybody's, Jesus is offending me. And anything we don't say the name of Jesus Christ, don't pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's offensive. One day he's going to come, and you know what? Nobody's going to be able to do it. He's going to get all the ones that offend him out of here. Man, that's serious business. I mean, you're talking about offensive. Okay, well, you offend him and see what he does. All right? And so there's going to be no place found for him. Now, another thing, it says, in a great mountain back in Daniel, and filled the whole earth. Now, turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. This is good stuff right here, man. This right here will get you plumb out in left field, man. Just happy, thanking the Lord. And I tell you what, while you're turning there, I'll just read to you. When the Lord comes, It says, the wolf, in verse 6, also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them. Here, you want a pet lion? Here you go. lay that lion around there. Mm-hmm. that's a wonderful. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Well, people say, oh, that's spiritual. Well, it was like it in Genesis. Was Genesis spiritual too? I've literally talked to some of these people who believe, well, that's just spiritual application, you know. No, it's real application. Well, when the Lord gets back, He's going to do the right thing. It was literal the first time. They say, well, you know, that whole thing over there is spiritual over there, like Revelation, it's spiritual. Well, the Lord came the first time, He came physically. And He really came. And when He comes second time, this is really going to happen. And it says, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt. Now here's the important phrase, because we talked about that mountain. Nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, you know that's not right now. Why? People, you go out here and these people don't know, come here from Sikkim. You get talking about the Lord. One of these days it's going to cover just like it says. There's going to be knowledge of the Lord all over the place. And it says the whole earth. Let me show you one more passage that's pretty good on that. Bunch of them, but here's just some highlight. Malachi chapter number 1. Talking about that mountain. In Malachi chapter number 1, I thought I'd beat y'all to it, and I was over here at Micah. Yeah, I said that don't sound right. They're reading it here. Here we go. Verse 11 says, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." I tell you what, it's not great among the heathen right now. But one day it's going to be, because it's going to fill the whole entire earth. And we better stop there, but we'll keep on going with that thing on next time.